Hey, Joe again. My conversation with Hemal Patel was a really great one, and I recommend you listen to the whole thing. But if you're time constrained and you just want to hear the most critical information about how to understand your own mitochondrial bottlenecks, then listen to this short, abbreviated version that cuts out the first 40 minutes of our really interesting talk. It leaves about 10 minutes, so in 10 minutes, you can really get the gist of the conversation. Maybe listen to this first and then go back and listen to the whole thing and understand Dr. Patel's deep knowledge in this area and credibility for the work that he has done. Enjoy.
Us older athletes, we know we're not what we were, right? You know, I don't have the endurance that I had. It takes me longer to warm up than it used to. Heck, getting back to your, how do you feel thing. I don't feel as good as I used to. Sometimes I don't feel good, like hardly at all. It takes me much, much longer to recover from hard exercise. Yeah. Even though I will say that I'm maybe nearly as strong as I have ever been, when I use that strength and that power, it takes me much longer to get back to baseline. So anyway, I'm not what I was. And why not, right? Okay, oh, you're getting older, Joe. You know, that's okay, Joe. That's just the way it goes. All right, well, heck with that. I want to fight back on that. And all I have is like, do a VO2 max test, or maybe I can check my lactate levels, in my earlobe, when I'm exercising, things like that. But I really already know that things aren't going as well. What a VO2 max is not going to test is not going to tell me. It's just going to confirm that I'm right, that I'm not as good as I was. But it's not going to tell me what part of me is breaking down. And I think you're saying your test can, right? I can have, maybe what I have is less mitochondria in my muscles than I used to, or maybe what I have is that they're aged, they're not turning over like they should, and so maybe I have as many as I used to, but some large fraction of them don't work that well, and they don't make the energy they could, and instead they're making more reactive oxygen species, causing other kinds of problems. Maybe I don't have as many new ones because some signaling is out of whack. And, when I'm exercising or whatever it is that does provide this signal, my body is like, oh, I don't hear that. I don't hear that. Why is that? Is it missing some substrate that is necessary? And what I'm understanding you to say, just using simpler words, is that you've got a test that can sort of sort out the different reasons why my VO2 max is going down. And then you have some idea of how to deal with each of those things, depending on which one I'm suffering from versus, my riding partner. And so I might have a different thing. Instead of us both just beating our head against the wall, exercising as hard as we can, I should be doing things that are going to work for whatever my dysfunction is. And he should be doing whatever it works for his dysfunction. And we can both get better, but we're getting there through different paths that are unique to us. Am I getting the picture?
You got it dead on, right? And it's this idea that your mitochondria are personal to you, right? They're not like everyone else. And it's not just that you're at a certain age that you look like everyone else that's at your certain age. You go through a different life spectrum, right? And these create a uniquely different biochemical environment that you're adapting to. That biochemistry that your mitochondria and your cells and your environment is being bathed in is a consequence of a lot of things. It's a consequence of your genetics. It's a consequence of where you live. It's a consequence of everything that you're exposed to in your environment. And that matters, right? And this is the first test that takes all of that into account and sees how your personal environment is changing your mitochondrial biology to really give you a deep window into how to affect it long term and how to target it.
Awesome. Okay, that's really good. What would be the best would be if we had, like I had taken your test and we could kind of go through it and you could say, oh, Joe, here's where your problem is and here's what you should be doing about that. But why don't you...
Well, that'll be the next podcast, right? Next time
there you go.
We take it, we'll do a reveal.
I'm going to do it. But for today, walk us through sort of like a made-up one. And what does your test score? And for each of the areas that it is scoring, what are the kinds of things that a person would do? If they were weak in this area, they would want to do those kinds of things. And if they were strong, well, then put that aside for now. And if you're weak in this other area, then you got to do these other kind of things. Can you can do that for us?
Yeah. So this is the uniqueness and the complication of a test like this, right? And this is where I think it becomes a little hairy to commercialize this to the population, which is where our target is right now, is you can't take any one number in isolation and make a big deal about it. You have to think about all of the numbers as they fit together, because they mean something up or down together, right? Mm. And so the first part of the test really looks at the functional components of your mitochondria. And the way to really do this is to measure oxygen, and it's to measure extracellular acidification. This is what our system that we're using, this analytical system, does. Those two things give you a consequence of your mitochondria through the oxygen measurement, and it gives you a consequence of glycolysis through the extracellular acidification for that pH change. So we basically have this muscle cell that's kicking along on this system. We adopt your biochemistry onto that, and we see what happens from a baseline perspective of oxygen and this extracellular acidification to that cell. First thing is, this tells you if your biochemistry is either turning that cell on or turning it off from a mitochondrial perspective. This becomes important, right? If you're turning it on, it suggests that there may be things that you're doing that are hyperactivating your mitochondria, which happens, right? If you're stressed, if you've been sick, if you're supplementing in an obnoxious kind of way, that's going to happen. The other aspect is, if your mitochondria are depressed from a baseline perspective, this suggests that maybe you have a toxin, or maybe you're super adapted and you're really putting your mitochondria to sleep when you don't need them to work. We're seeing unique profile elements of this based on that. And then the large portion of individuals, nothing happens. Their baseline doesn't change. So their biochemistry really doesn't up or down regulate those mitochondria. It stays kicking exactly where it's at. 60% of the individuals on the test have that feature, right? And then they have a very simple other changes that we see. The next part of the test then looks at the efficiency of your mitochondria. So we can add certain compounds to the system to then test if your mitochondria are behaving in an efficient or inefficient kind of way. This is the first sort of inkling of whether there may be some larger membrane dysfunction that we're seeing in the system. There's a leak. If they're not behaving properly, it gives us some ideas around that. The third part of that first test really looks at then the drive. When we make your mitochondria work, how much reserve does that system create based on your biochemistry? And so this gives us this ability to say, are you going to basically crash when we try to overstimulate your system? Or is there some gas in the tank that allows you to create that resiliency and create a drive based on this? This becomes one of these important measures. The things we see in the most hyper-adapted individuals is, under baseline conditions, they have a very low baseline respiration. But then when you stress their system, they're able to create this huge window of gain of this resource and this reserve. The second part of the test basically looks at whether you're making energy under baseline conditions with mitochondrial glycolysis. This becomes really important for certain diseases that you may be dealing with, chronic kinds of things, fatigue, brain fog, things that we talked about. When you optimize one versus the other, it tells you something, right? Your system, if it's using a lot of glycolysis to make energy, it suggests that your mitochondria is shutting down or maybe compromised in a unique kind of way. If you're optimizing mitochondria, it may suggest that you're shutting this glycolysis mechanism down and your mitochondria are super optimized. And we see this in athletes and other people, right? And this that differential. Again, in most individuals, we see about an equal loading of energy from glycolysis and mitochondria. It shows that they're flexible, that they really have been optimized in one direction or the other in a good or a bad kind of way. They're just sort of kicking along, right? Then we start looking at some dysfunctional elements that start getting us into notions of what those first two sets of numbers really mean. One of the things we can look at is reactive oxygen species generation. So we've built this fluorescence-based assay that, when you add your biochemical environment, we can see if under baseline conditions, these reactive species go up, and then we stress the system and make it work, and we see if that oxidant pool goes even higher. So if you're making a lot, if you're trying to churn your mitochondria in an excessive kind of way, and you make a lot of these free radicals, it suggests that you're churning your mitochondria to make free radicals and not ATP. And this could be a look at what's actually happening in your system, that you may be energy compromised because you're creating this dysfunction rather than function at the end of the way. And this is where you've got to look at the first part of the test with this third part of the test. And you don't have to do it because the algorithm does it for you, right? It looks at all of these numbers and gives you an overall mitochondrial health score that's a consequence of all this. And then the summary breaks down all of these things for you that visualizes it for you. The final component of the test, I think, is one of the most important. People think of mitochondria as the powerhouse of the cell, which is what we learn in high school. And this is probably 70% true, right? They really do make energy. But the other thing that they've adapted and learned to do is they are the consequence of life and death, right? They create this potential to either create resiliency in the system, or they say the system's tapped out and we're going to kill it, right? Apoptosis and other things that come through. And so they become a signaling entity. One of the biggest components of signaling is how well they're networked and connected together. They're an old organism, right? And so every organism has a social order and they like to be socially connected and together. If you look in most cell types that are architectured and structured like the neuron or the cardiac myocyte, the mitochondria have this crazy pearl-like structure where one is connected to the other is connected to the other. When you have youthfulness and resiliency, you see this pearl-like connection. When you have aged, decrepit dysfunction, you see that the mitochondria become rounded and separate from each other. And this is where they become dysfunctional from the network. And so what we've done is this really sort of artful way of looking at this. And so we've created a stable cell line that expresses a green fluorescent protein only in the mitochondria. And so under our microscope, the entire mitochondrial network of this cell lights up. Now, when we adapt your biochemistry onto the cell, we can then, with our live cell video capture, we can actually see how the mitochondria are moving in real space and time. And so we've created an AI algorithm that basically gives you a network dynamic score. Are your mitochondria staying connected, or are they starting to fall apart based on the biochemistry that you're creating? And we can do this under a baseline and stress state. And so now you have this test that gives you a functional element, a dysfunctional element, and a structural dynamic element to give you this global picture of what your mitochondria do. They're not just a powerhouse. They are a signaling machine, right? And they're a dysfunctional machine, and they're a structural machine. And you give you all of those pieces as part of this test to then really give you a complete picture of what your mitochondria are doing to then start intervening with how you can fix that ultimately.
Well, what are the kinds of things that through your test people can discover? I think you talked about sort of like zone two or maybe zone one training.
I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing is that a lot of older individuals have membrane dysfunction. It's a consequence of getting old, right? Your membranes start to fall apart. And so one of the things we've been, physicians that have been using our tests have been doing is recommending lipid replacement, right? Phosphatidylcholine, serine, ethanolamine, inositol, ways to rebuild the core elements of your membrane structure to give it stability.
So do omega-3s fall into that bucket?
Sort of. I mean, eventually, yes, but I think this is what a lot of people think about. But we really need to replenish the lipids that we have in our lipid membranes that okay. then give it stability. And it's really of choline, serine, ethanolamine, inositol, and these mixes of mammalian lipids that you need to rebuild.
Awesome. And so that sounds like eggs. What else? Olive oil, maybe?
There's some supplements, olive oils. There's a bunch of supplements out there on the market as well. We're starting to test a few of these out in our system to see how they work in certain individuals. I think we'll have more and more results as people start adopting this test. The test learns from individuals that take it, right? We have you give us some feedback in terms of survey. And I keep saying the magic number in this is once we hit 100, 200,000 tests, we'll be able to provide so much information to individuals because we'll take that information that individuals provide and give you aspects of, well, with this body habitus and sort of disease status and things that you're structured in dealing with, these may be the optimal things you may want to do supplement-wise that may help. Right. And cut that circuit short of treatment to effect ultimately at the end.
Well, so it sounds like you're early in this process. And so you don't have like definitive answers, but anything that seems to be likely to be helpful in terms of the membranes or perhaps the signaling to the mitochondria to turn over and you know, eat up the bad dead ones?
Yeah, so a couple things that we have been testing are lipids. And so there's a couple versions of phosphatidylcholine. There's a body bio version, body bio PC, that is a mix of a bunch of lipids that seems to be doing well in our system.
Okay.
Urolithin A we've tested and has really cool effects on mitophagy, autophagy pathways.
That's great.
We've done studies at UCSD that look at time-restricted eating as a way to activate autophagy, mitophagy pathways. And so that seems to have really beneficial effects on mitochondrial function, but it doesn't work in everyone.
And can you define that a little more discreetly? Like, is it have to be like 12-hour window or 16-hour window? Or
yeah, so the one that we've been aggressively testing is really easy to do. It's a 10-hour eating window and a 14-hour fasting window. Okay. And that's fairly easy to do. And you again, I'll ask people if they're intermittent fasting and they'll say, oh yeah, I am. And then I ask them what their window is. Well, you know, some days I start at 10. I'm like, then you're not intermittent fasting. You got to pick the same window every day. And so this is the hard part, is people think they're doing these things. And we get this a lot, right? Our algorithm will give you some suggestions of things that you could possibly do. Supplement wise and those kinds of things. And a lot of people will be like, well, I'm doing all these things. And then when you start picking at it, you realize that they're sort of half-assing everything, right? They're not really doing what they say they're doing. So it's really got to be a concerted way of targeting these things.
Right. Well, and when you're trying to do 100 things, you know, how can you be consistent with 100 things? So you got to pick the most important ones. I agree. And
yeah,
it sounds like your test helps you to prioritize better so that you can save money on all the things you aren't really helping you because you don't need help there, and then focus on the things you do need.
Yeah. And one of the things that we see is people want to do a lot of things, right? They think that if their mitochondria are horrible, you got to do all the things at the same time. And it's a leveled, structured approach. If your membranes are dysfunctional, you can try to fix your ROS and you can try to fix your autophagy, mitophagy. It's not going to work until you get your membranes in order, right? So you got to start with the foundation and then build to the next level and the next level. And okay, this is something that I think takes education to get people to think critically about.
Okay, well, good. And you have talked about how, you know, how the biohackers who are always whacking their mitochondria are overdoing it, and the mitochondria are breaking down because they never get a rest. So we don't want to do too much, but maybe there's more than just exercise. You know, exercise and diet and sleep, I guess, are the big things. But maybe there are some other things, like maybe sauna, I've heard, is good. And I don't know if cold exposure is good. Anything like that?
Yeah, we're in the process of testing some of these things out. So a lot of the companies that have these products are starting to use MeScreen as a way to validate, right?
Oh, great.
That what they say actually does what it does. And so we'll do clinical trials with them, or studies with them, where we'll have subjects get a pre-test, then they'll do their intervention for a certain number of time. And then we'll do a post-test and see if there's a change in their mitochondrial functionality pre to post, and then essentially validate that procedure out for them. So totally doable.
That sounds really good. I look forward to hearing more about that. I guess my last question would be about protein. You know, we hear so many things, you know, you want to protein restrict so you can live forever.
Yeah.
Or you want to have extra protein, especially when you get older, because, you know, your anabolic resistance is, you know, you're going to be sarcopenic. Have you like studied any of this effect, you know, protein on the mitochondria?
We haven't. I mean, this is something that I think it needs to be done. And we're starting to work with people like Sachin, who are very interested in human endurance and looking at diet as a conduit to this. Could you do a protein versus a fat-rich diet? And could you alter this in a time-restricted manner to get unique changes in biology? And I think it's about not only what you eat, but the timing of which you eat it, right? That becomes really important, because our bodies will turn that food into a different source of fuel if you do it the right way. So
Right. Well, circadian rhythm is important. There's no doubt. Yeah. And you eat the same diet when your body is wanting to sleep, you know, it's like things are going cross purposes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay. Dr. Patel, hey, you've been generous with your time. So let's wrap it up here. What can you tell our audience in terms of how to find more information about this, you know, this test, and, you know, anything else that you would want to point them at to learn more about how to make their mitochondria better?
Yeah, you can go to MeScreen.com. We can generate a discount code for you as well.
Great. And MeScreen, that's MeScreen.com.
Yep.
Okay.
And then if you want to keep in touch with stuff that we're thinking about, mitochondria and all the other stuff that goes on in my lab, you can just follow me at Instagram. It's Hemal Patel, PhD. And it gives you access to all kinds of mitochondrial things that we talk about and think about, as well as all the other stuff that we're working on.